this week we'll try to speak about what it is. I'm probably going to repeat something that I say many, many times that has been also spoofed in the Purim spiel, but I'm going to do it anyway. Okay. The Nevoir Ata Inyan Zeh HaLaseda. Now I'm going to explain to you what Chassidus is. Hine Shorish HaChassidus Hu Masha Omru Chazal Ashri Odom Shamolo Batorah Va'osa Nachas Ruach Liotzro. Right? We said that in order to be a Chassid, you have to be well learned in Torah, Lo Amaretz Chassid, because you really have to know very, very well what the Rabban Shem wants from you. But you also have to go beyond that. Chassidus is usually considered osim lifnei meshuras hadin, more than just the what's required, the letter of the law, which we'll explain in great detail in a little while what that means. Going beyond the letter of the law, in fact, the word chesed has the connotation of something that is beyond limits. We find it for the good and for the bad. It says by the chesed, again, is doing something beyond the limits of the law, beyond what you have to do. That's a chosid, somebody, it says, who's mavater al shalom, something that he could claim for himself, but he gives it up for somebody else. So he goes beyond what the law would say. We find it in the negative sense also, chesed. It says that the incest between a brother and a sister is called chesedhu. Right, what does that mean, chesed? So the nedrash, the drash on it is that the Rabban Shalom built the world on chesed because he permitted Cain to marry his sister. Because if he didn't, then there'd be no way for the world to be built. Because there were only, obviously, blood relatives in the beginning of the world, Adam and Chava, and Cain and Hevel and their sisters, their twin sisters. So if the Rabban Shalom didn't permit Cain to live with his sister, the world couldn't have been built. So Olam Chesed Yibaneh. Okay, it's built on Chesed. The simple meaning, though, of Chesed there means, the Rambam says, something extremely beyond limitations, way out of whack. That the incest between a brother and a sister is Chesed, it's way beyond the limits of what is acceptable. So there Chesed also means beyond limitations. There could be another meaning there, and that is one of the reasons the Torah prohibited incest is because it would increase people indulging in these appetites and drives, because a relative is always readily available. So the Torah prohibited. That's one reason. Another reason is that we find physically that it's not a healthy thing. Incest usually leads to children with some kind of birth defect. Even as close as first cousins is already their statistics. It's not exactly good, even though the Torah permits that. But again, from a secular law, first cousins, I don't know if they think they're not allowed to get married. I'm not sure. In any case.
Yeah,
they are. Okay. The Torah also, the first cousins will not to get married. A niece and a nephew and a uncle and a niece are allowed to get married. Not from from a Torah standpoint. Not an aunt and a nephew, though. But an uncle and a niece. So those are the closest relatives that can. So we see that why? Because they're too similar. They have similar genes. And therefore, when you have two similar things, the weaknesses are magnified. So it could be the same thing. A shidduch is very good when there are likenesses and differences. Right? Sometimes people, opposites attract. People are supposed to be mashlim each other. Right? In other words, my strengths will help the person I marry, and their strengths will help me. So they have the weaknesses where I have strengths, and they have strengths where I have weaknesses. And that's the ideal. So there have to be certain things in common, but majority is to be mashlim, to compensate and to complement and supplement. Mashenkin, a brother and a sister are probably the most similar that can be, even more than a father and a daughter or a mother and a son. Children are not necessarily like either parent because each parent is different, comes from a different thing. but brothers and sisters come mamish from the same two parents, so they're the most similar. That's why it says if you want to know who a woman is, check her brothers. So therefore, a brother and sister living together is so similar, right, that it's too good. It's chesed. It's beyond what is normal. And therefore, it doesn't have that idea of supplementing, complementing weaknesses and strengths, but it's duplicating. That's beyond. It's like double. That's called chesed too. Could be another reason why it's called chesed. Okay. In any case, so basically, bottom line is that the word chesed has the connotation of being something beyond the limit. Good or bad. Okay. So that's what a chesed is. And therefore, I don't limit myself to doing what the Rabbanu Shel Olam commanded me to do, but I want to make a nachas ruach. I want to make him happy. And therefore he gives the following example. Va'inyan hu, ki nei ha-nitzvus ha-mutolos ha-kol Yisrael, kvar yudu'o sein, v'chavosin yudu'a ad heichon himagas. The mitzvahs that everybody is required to do are well known, and everybody knows what their parameters are. You learn halacha, right? You hear go to a shiur in halacha before the Yomim Tovim, for Shabbos, for Hilchos Taras HaMishpah, whatever it may be. You know basically what the rules are, right? They're defined, specific, and they are well known. Omnam, Misha Oei Vesasbori Yisbara Shemo Ava Amitis Lo Yishtadol V'Yichavin Lifterat Shemo B'Mashikvar Mefursim Menachova Asher HaKol Yisro B'Chlal. But a person who really loves the Rabbanu Shel Olam isn't going to be satisfied with just doing what he has to do, what everybody has to do. Ela yikra lo kamoshi yikra el ben ohev avi. Right? He gives an example of a child who loves his father very much. Sheilu yigala avi desdaito gilu ma'at shu chafetz bedover men advarim. That since the child loves the father so much and he wants to make the father happy, so even if the father reveals what he would like, even a little bit, right? Haben yirba haben kvar yirba haben bedover ahuva ma'isahu kol mashiyucha. The son will go out of his way to try and do as much as he can in that area that the father at least hinted to what he wants. He told him, the example they give is the following. Father tells his two sons, he has two sons. One's a chassid, one's a tzaddik. Okay? And he tells them, please bring me a drink of water. So the tzaddik goes and brings his father a drink of water. Okay? The chassid says, my father is obviously thirsty. Okay? He probably doesn't want to bother us, you know, to bring him something more than just water, but I know that he really likes coffee more than water. So he probably just said water just to not be machbid on us. So he goes and makes his father his favorite coffee with all the special things or whatever and brings it to him. That's a chassid. Now, that doesn't always work. Because sometimes the father wants some water, right? Don't bring me coffee. I asked you for water, right? So the chassid has to be sensitive to know if the father's, what really the father wants. Does he want water? Or is he just telling you, I'm thirsty, and I'd really like my thirst quenched, and then you can enhance that by quenching his thirst in a way that he would be more happy with, he doesn't want to bother you. Okay. So again, you could misunderstand and do something wrong, right? So therefore, it doesn't work with all mitzvahs that you can expand on them or whatever, right? For instance, the Rav Shlom says, bring me an esrig lulav, aravos, and hadasim, and sukkahs. You say, well, I see God likes plants, so I'll bring them, you know, what's it called, some other plants also, right? That doesn't work. There the Rav Shlom wants those specific things, and if you add things, you're over on Bal Tosef. But if the Rav Shlom says, you're not allowed to steal, right? And I understand from that the Rabban Shem really doesn't like stealing. He doesn't like people taking things that aren't theirs. And therefore, I'm going to be extra careful. I'm not even going to take presents from people. Because I know that the Rabban Shem likes people to want what they have and not what they get from other people. Surely not what they get be'is or even what they get be'heter. That's not Ratzon Hashem. That's called Chasidus. Right? I'm not adding to the mitzvah, I'm enhancing it and understanding from the mitzvah what the ratzon of the Rabbanu Shalom is, which in a second we will give a good example how that works. Even though the father only said it once, and just, you know, in the minimum way, because he doesn't want to bother his child, right? Still, he may die lo, so haben lahavin hechen daishas lahavi. If from that I can deduce what the father's real will is, not what he's telling me to do only, right? The letter of the law. But what does really my father want? What would he be happy with? Okay? Then I'll do what my father wants, not necessarily what he commanded. Right? I know what will make my father happy. I won't wait till he commands me more specifically, but I'll take the initiative. So I'll say it a second time. The first time, even a hint, I'll already extrapolate and do what will make my father happy, not only what will fulfill what he told me to do. The hine gover ze anachnu roim also be'enenu, she voleh b'chol eishu v'chol shah, ben kol oei v'reya. These are ways of people who really love each other and are extremely good friends. This is the way they function with each other. Ben ish le'ishto, a husband and wife, av le'beno, a father and son, klolo shel dover, ben kol ma mi she'ahava b'neim azah be'emes, right, between those that really love each other with a strong love, right, and therefore love means that I want to give to you, as the Michtam Eliyahu says. I want to make you happy. So I'm not going to only do what you tell me to do, I'm going to do from that what I know makes you happy. So lo yomer lo nitztavesi yoser, you didn't command me more. There's enough what you told me to do. Okay. And that is what real chassidus is, going beyond the letter of the law. That's why a am ha'aretz can't be a chassid. Because an Am Ha'aretz who doesn't really understand the full impact of what is said will make mistakes and end up doing things that are more, that aren't like, you know, bringing extra plants by Sukkos. Being Mosif al HaMitzvah instead of enlarging and enhancing. There's a difference between enhancing and doing more. Okay. Doing more is something different. Enhancing is taking the same thing and just adding making it more intense. The mitzvahs will be not a command that I just do what I'm told, but it's a way for me for the Rabbanu Shel Olam to reveal to me what kinds of things he wants from me and what's good to do. Lo yoma das levad lo dead lo das el ha inyan ahu nota ritzono v'chetzis bar. This is where God's will is. The oz lo yoma dai li b'masha omer b'feirish, and therefore the person will say it's not enough what God said openly. That's what he wants from everybody, right? But he wants me to look into it and see more what his will is. I'm not going to patter myself, right, and just do the minimum. Since I know that God's will is in this area, in this direction, any way I could see that something goes into this rule of what God's will that he's revealed to me is, I'll do that too, even though I'm not specifically commanded to do it. I'm not just fulfilling God's command, but I'm also making him happy. I'm doing, nachas ruach means, I'm doing what I know is his will, what he really wants from me. Nimtze klala chasidus harchoves kiyum kol ha-mishas b'chol ha-tzlodim v'atnoyim sh'roiv sh'efshar. Comes out chasidus, bottom line, is enhancing, enlarging the mitzvahs in any way possible to include all the things that the mitzvah implies that God is interested in and wants me to do. So I enlarge it. I go beyond the limit. I go out of the box. That's basically what chasidus is. The way I like to explain it, so you can understand it, is the following. And I'm going to repeat this. Many of you have heard it hundreds, tens of times, maybe even more than that. But the Lamaisa, I think it's a great marshal, and it explains this Mesillas Yesharim, I think, very, very well. The Navi complains that Klal Yisrael keep the mitzvahs tzav l'tzav, kav l'kav, a mitzvah here, a line there, a line there. And what's the problem? That's how we keep the mitzvahs. You don't do all the mitzvahs at once. You keep a mitzvah here, a mitzvah there. You don't, you know, sit in a sukkah, blow shofar, eat matzah, and wave Esther Galulov all at once. Today you have this mitzvah, tomorrow another mitzvah. So what's the Navi complaining that Klal Yisrael keep the mitzvah tzav l'tzav, a mitzvah here, a mitzvah there, a line here, a line there, a little bit here, a little bit there? That's mitzvahs. If I were to ask you how many things the Rabban Shalom wants from a person, so you'd probably say 613, right? Things to do and not to do. But that's not true, because there are, those are only the major headings. There are branches and sub-branches and sub-sub-branches, a lot of things. Right? Everywhere you turn around, the Rabban Shalom wants something else. Say this, don't say that, dress like this, don't dress like that, work now, don't work now, eat this, don't eat that, and so on. But the truth is, the Rabban Shalom doesn't want a lot of things. Because the Torah says, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mimach, what does the Rabban Shalom want from you? Ki im, only, Liyiras Hashem Elokecha. He only wants Yiras Shemayim. That is what he wants. Ki im Liyira. That's what he's asking from you. Nothing else. Either Pasuk continues, or Liavos, or Dovkabo, or whatever. So the Medrash says on that Pasuk the following. That when David HaMelech said to the Rabban Shalom, Acha Shaltim Eis Hashem, Osa Avakesh, I really want one thing from you, Rabban Shalom. And then he goes on to say a whole kapitel tilim, right? So the Rabban Shalom told him, Dovid HaMelech, you're not the Seder. You tell me you want one thing, and you ask me for a whole list. If you want one thing, ask for one thing. You want a lot of things? I never said you couldn't ask for a lot of things. Tell me you want a lot of things. Don't tell me you want one thing and sneak in a whole list. So David said, Rabban Shalom, I learned this from you. You do the same thing. You tell us, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mimach, Ki Im Liyira, only Yira Shamay. And then you sneak in a whole list. Olad Avil Tov, Adov Kabo, Leveches Bechol Drachov, Lishmar Kol Chukov, Mitzvosov, Mishpatov. So I did the same thing. What's the meaning of the Medrash? The Rabban Shalom really only wants one thing from a person. Yira Shamay. That is the goal of all the mitzvahs, that a person should be a Yira Shamay. What is a Yira Shamay? In a nutshell, a person who has such a close feeling to God. He recognizes, he's in awe of the Rabban Shalom. He recognizes how awesome the Rabban Shalom is. And he wants to make sure that he does every single thing proper because of that awe. And therefore, every second of his life, no matter what he is doing, thinking, or saying, he does it in a way that he knows befits somebody who's standing before that awesome God, right, who created him. And he's created in God's image, and he has to function in a way that is befitting a creation who's created in the image of this awesome God. That's called Yiras HaRomamus. That is the ultimate of what the Rabban Shalom wants. Except, and therefore, David said, Rabban Shalom, I know you only want one thing, but you can't do it just like this. You have to get to it. There's means of reaching it. How is that? You have to start with Avas Hashem and Ladovka Bo and Leleches Bechol Drachov Lishmar Kol. Those are the means of becoming a Yirei Shamayim. But what does the Rabban Shalom want? He wants the goal. He wants you to be a Yirei Shamayim. So you're not going to be a Yirei Shamayim unless you have all those other things. So the Rabban Shalom wants Yirei Shamayim, but the other things are means to reach that. He doesn't want those things as an end. He wants those as a means. Same thing David HaMelech said, I only want one thing. Shifti Beveis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai. I want to have that connection to you forever. Except in order to do that, I need all those other things. I need parnasa, I need to be safe and delivered from my enemies, and all the other things it mentions, I need those things too. Okay, but I don't need them as a goal. I need them because I want one thing. Shifti b'veis Hashem, kol yimei chayai. So therefore, the Rav Avshalom really only wants one thing. All those other things are means to reach it. Except, so why didn't the Rav Avshalom just command us to have Vi'ar Shamayim? Because it's too all-inclusive. It's too nebulous. It's not something you can do unless you have specific mitzvahs, and each mitzvah reveals another aspect of that all-encompassing Ratzon Hashem that leads to being a Yirei Shamayim. Okay. So therefore, the mitzvahs are just means to be able to see the Ratzon Hashem. The example I give, which has been mentioned many times and in the Purim Spiel, you have a tremendous light bulb, gigantic, one of these gigantic, searchlights. It's so big and it's so bright you can't look at it. It's too big and too bright to look at. So you take it and enclose it in a globe, and you cut in the globe 613 little windows. Through each little window you see one small portion of the searchlight. There's only one searchlight. How do you know what the whole thing looks like? If you look through each little window consecutively, you'll get a composite picture of the globe. Those are mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are windows into that all-encompassing will of God, that if you understand from each mitzvah what it reveals to you of about what God is interested in, then you'll be able to apply it to your whole life, not just to that narrow mitzvah. And that's why sometimes the Torah speaks about Lishmoa Bikol Hashem, and sometimes Lishmoa Likol Hashem. When the Torah speaks about Lishmoa Likol Hashem, it means listening to what the Rabbanu Shalom said, the command. Keep Shabbos. Don't eat treif. That's a very specific command. It has specific parameters. Do it. That's Lishmoa Likol Hashem. If you don't do it, you'll never be able to open the window to see what's hiding behind that. But after you do the mitzvah, or while you're doing the mitzvah, or while you're learning about the mitzvah, there's a second shlav, and that is Lishmoa Bikol Hashem. Listen into what the Rabbanu Shalom said. What is that mitzvah supposed to teach you about God's all-encompassing will, one aspect of it, that you can apply to your whole life, not just to when you're doing that mitzvah? An example, Shabbos. Shabbos is a very narrow mitzvah. It applies 25 hours in the week. It has specific parameters, what you have to do, what you're not allowed to do. That is, and if you keep Shabbos meticulously, you are Shomea Likol Hashem. You're listening to the Rabbanu Shalom. But there's more to that. Once you keep Shabbos, and you learn about Shabbos, and you keep it, and you anticipate, whatever it is, right? You have to then see that Shabbos is a window to something greater than that. What does God want from me from keeping Shabbos? What's beyond that? What is it supposed to mean? Right? What does it reveal to me about that all-encompassing will of Hashem that I see through this window of Shabbos? One idea is, Shabbos is supposed to remind me that 6 days of work in this world, the material world, is very important. But its importance is as a means to reach an end, not as an end in itself. You work 6 days, but the main purpose of what you accomplish in this world is to experience Shabbos. God created the world in 6 days, but His goal was Shabbos, which means the world is like 6,000 years. This is this world. And this world is supposed to lead to Yom Shekulo Shabbos, to Olam Haba. That's what you're supposed to learn from Shabbos. That the main purpose of creation was for a world beyond this world, for a spiritual world. And therefore, somebody who keeps Shabbos meticulously, but the whole week he has one goal in life, earn some more money. So he's L'shomea Likol Hashem, he's kept Shabbos, he'll get rewarded for it. But he wasn't Shomea Bikol Hashem. He missed that idea of what's the Ratzon of the Rabbanu Shalom that is revealed through the mitzvah of Shabbos. What does God want from me to apply to my entire life, which is really His Ratzon, right, which will make me a bigger Yirei Shamayim? So every mitzvah teaches you a different aspect of that one all-inclusive nebulous Ratzon. The other example I always like to give, which I'm going to say also, because there's at least one person here who never heard it, the Maaser Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich, that he was invited to eat by someone's home, and Friday night, and the men came home from shul. The balabos knocked on his door, opened the door, looked inside, and turned white, was ready to faint. Rav Shlomo Feivel said, I realize something is really not normal on the other side of that door. So I was curious. I peeked in, and right away I saw the problem. The house was a mess. The table wasn't set, and the housewife looked like she just came from Mars. So he said, I right away surmised the problem. This poor woman was tired from preparing for Shabbos. So she probably said, you know what, I'm going to lie down a little while now while the men are in shul, and I'll get up in plenty of time to set the table, put the house in order before the men come home from shul. And she fell into a deep sleep, and she didn't wake up until they knocked on the door. So the house was a mess, the table wasn't set, and she was hovering somewhere between this world and some other world. So Rav Shlomo Feivel said, my initial reaction was, this man is very embarrassed to bring me into this house. It's a mess. Table isn't set. His wife looks like she's, you know, from another world. So he probably is embarrassed to bring me into the house. He said, but as things developed, I realized that wasn't the problem. Because the guy understood that I wouldn't understand. It's not his fault. It's his wife's fault. She made the mess. She didn't set the table. Right? She just woke up. You know what bothered him, though? On the table were the two challahs without a challah cover. And he was afraid that this Rosh Yeshiva would get the impression that he doesn't know you're supposed to cover the challahs. And he would think badly of him, even for a second, that he's a total amoris, doesn't know you're supposed to cover the challahs. So, in order to make it clear that he knows you're supposed to have the challahs covered, he starts yelling at his wife to impress the Rav Shlomo Feivel. Right? You're lazy, incompetent, don't you know you're supposed to cover the challahs? Now Rav Shlomo Feivel says, now I know the guy knows you're supposed to cover the challahs. He's covered himself. He said, but I thought to myself, this is the most absurd thing I ever saw in my life. Because one of the reasons we cover the challahs when we make Kiddush is because the bread is more important than wine. And if you be eating bread and wine during the week, you first make a motzi and then you make agathen. You first make the more important bracha first. But Shabbos you can't do that because you have to make Kiddush before you eat. So you have to make the lesser important bracha before the more important thing. So basically you're insulting the bread by making a bracha on something less than it before it. So in order, shalom yira hapas boshto, in order that you shouldn't insult and embarrass the bread, we cover it. You shouldn't see its embarrassment, that you're making a bracha on something lesser before it. Now we say that, I don't know, maybe my wife bakes insensitive challahs, but you know, I never came home from shul, said something not nice to the challahs, they ran off the table, locked themselves in their room until I could appease them to come back. It happened with my daughters a few times, but it never happened with my challahs. Never. Personally, I never saw an embarrassed challah in my life, right? And if you have seen one, I'm sure somebody professional could help you. Right? I mean, imagine inviting somebody like, you know, right off the wall, you know, from the kosel that, you know, somebody sent to you, what was his name? Mayor Schuster. I should have a refuah shleima, but what's it called? Mayor Schuster sent you, you know, guy never saw Shabbos, never saw, doesn't know what Yiddishkeit is, walks into your house, and he's looking around, and he says, hey, what's under that cover? Nice cover, what's under it? He says, it's bread. Why is it covered? Because we don't embarrass it. The guy think you're off the wall. We don't embarrass the bread. How about the door? Would you do anything wrong to the door when we came in? But, you know, what kind of ridiculous thing is this? So what's the idea? The idea is that if you condition yourself not to embarrass an inanimate object, you'll never come to insult or embarrass a human being. That's the purpose of this minhag. And here's a guy, right, embarrassing and insulting his wife publicly to defend the honor of a piece of bread. It's Shmia Likol Hashem. He got the minhag down 100%. Shmia Bikol Hashem. What's it supposed to mean? What are you supposed to learn from this? How's it supposed to impact on your entire life? Not just a mitzvah here, a mitzvah there. But it's all one big, what's it called, picture. Right? You're not supposed to keep the mitzvahs piecemeal just to do a bunch of things. Disjointed things. Do this, don't do it. It's supposed to be a lifestyle. So it's one big mitzvah of Ratzon Hashem. That's what it means. So the chassid understands from the mitzvah what is the will of God that is reflected in this mitzvah that I can apply to the rest of my life, or do it in a way that will be make more of an impact. I'll enhance the mitzvah more, right, and gain more from what the Rabban Shalom really wants me to gain out of this mitzvah. That's called chassidus. That is the basic idea. That's what the Mesillas Yesharim is saying. There's a level of Ratzon Hashem, and then there's a level of what God told you have to do. But what you have to do hints to what really is positive, what really God wants for our sake, not for His sake, for our sake, right? But He doesn't want to. We don't. It's not possible to make everybody do everything that is so nebulous. So the Rabban Shalom said, "Look, this is the minimum. But if you want to understand from that minimum what I really think is positive, then you can enhance it and enlarge upon it, and that's chassidus. You can also add to it and make it something new. That's not proper, right? So that's why you have to be basically a person who's a Talmud Chacham, who learns, not just an Am Haaretz, who can become a chassid. That's the idea. Okay. Any questions on that?
We finished the Perek.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, let's see. A few more lines. V'hincha roeh she'achassidus b'min ha'prishus. Therefore, chassidus is similar in a way to prishus. Just like by negative things, I stay away more from precious, more than just what God said I have to stay away from, but I understand what the intent is behind it, and therefore I learn there's other things I should stay away from which will accomplish the same purpose, even more enlarged and more enhanced. And therefore this is in the positive, that's in the negative. That is the basic idea of what real chassidus is, and the next parak is the details.